friends, welcome back. Okay, let's pull ourselves together. So, classical source. So, I'm going to discuss my edition. It's Tan Classics. It has also not only the text of the true devotion to Our Lady, to Mary, but it also has preparation for total consecration, which was nice. That might be helpful for some. The paper's a little thin, let's be honest, it is. The print was a decent size, so that was helpful there. And I know it looks like a lot here. Most of that is under the consecration part. The real part is just a smaller portion of that. The bulk of the book is really the consecration. So don't let the size throw you a little bit. His feast day is April the 28th. His birth is 1673, and he died 1716. He only lived 43 years. He was, and this is straight out of a Catholic website, linked down below. He was a confessor, a Marian devotee, and founder of the Sisters of Divine Wisdom. He was born Louis Marie Grignon in Montfort, France, in 1673. Educated at Reims, he was ordained there in 1700, becoming a chaplain in a hospital in Poitiers. His congregation, also called the Daughters of Divine Wisdom, started there. As his missions and sermons raised complaints, Louis went to Rome, where Pope Clement XI appointed him as a missionary apostolic. So it's kind of to get him out of town. Louis is famous for his fostering devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary. In 1715, he also founded the Missionaries of the Company of Mary. His true devotion to the Blessed Virgin remains popular. Indeed, it does. Louis died at St. Laurent-sur-Servais, and he was canonized in 1947. Some of his proposed devotions included angels. One reason behind Montfort's showing such devotion to angels is that veneration of the pure spirits was an integral part of his training and also of his culture. His college teachers were all Jesuits, and they were known for their zeal in propagating devotion to the angels.
At least at that time.
At least at that time. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. The imprimatur. So we pick up a book. It's always nice to look for some things. One is the imprimatur. The next will be the Nil Obstat, and the third is the papal endorsements. The imprimatur is an official license to print an ecclesiastical book. The Nil Obstat is a statement that it's free of doctrinal error. It's not talking about anything else. All they're saying is doctrinal error. And those were found in the front of the book. Louis de Montfort influenced a number of popes. In the 19th century, Pope Pius IX considered it the best and most acceptable form of Marian devotion, while Pope Leo XIII granted indulgences for practicing Montfort's method of Marian consecration. Leo beatified Montfort in 1888, selecting for Montfort's beatification the day of his own Golden Jubilee as a priest. In the 20th century, Pope Pius X acknowledged the influence of Montfort's writings in the composition of his encyclical, Ad Deum Illum. Pope Pius XI stated that he had practiced Montfort's devotional methods since his early youth. Pope Pius XII declared Montfort a saint and stated that Montfort is the guide who leads you to Mary and from Mary to Jesus. Pope John Paul II once recalled how, as a young seminarian, he read and reread many times and with great spiritual profit, a work of De Montfort, and that then I understood that I could not exclude the Lord's Mary, Mother, for my life without neglecting the will of God, Trinity. Going right back to the Trinity, and that's John Paul in our own time. According to his apostolic letter, Rosarium Virginae Mariae, the pontiff's personal motto was totus tuus, all yours. The thoughts, writings, and example of Louis de Montfort were also singled out by John Paul II's encyclical Redemptoris Mater, the Redeemer, as a distinctive witness of Marian spirituality in the Roman Catholic tradition.
Yeah, it's almost that parallel, right, of I don't know, the physiological relationship within the if we go with St. Thomas Aquinas's teaching that grace is nature, right, and we see the goodness in an individual family having a father, a mother, and love, right, that brings forth children, right, when we can recognize that inherent goodness, that has to be expansive, right, it has to be able to mature into the fullness of its purpose in salvation, right, and because I was actually thinking about this the other day, you know, when the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary at the Annunciation, she begets life, right, and again, there is sort of a second overshadowing, right, at Pentecost. And it's almost impossible for Mary, who is naturally fruitful, to be open to the will of God, that she does not then become mother again. So first she is mother in the order of creation, that hinge pin, right, that cardinal person upon which the Old Testament becomes the new, right? She really is that hinge that becomes that. And then we see her being that again, right? After Christ has ascended to heaven, and now this new order of creation is coming in with the Holy Spirit, who is going to lead us to all truth, coming again and expanding even further the beauty of her awesome, I guess we have to say awesome fruitfulness, right? Because she's not only a mother in the order of natural creation, right? I mean, she gave birth, I mean, she carried a child physically and she nursed that baby. I mean, so she truly is a mother in the natural sense, but in an extraordinary sense, she is mother of the God-man. And then all of the family that is begotten of him through baptism. Mm-hmm. You know, we must have a mother. And you know, God gives us both image and reality, right? So the church becomes the image, but the church can only be an image if we have a reality upon which to see that through, right? And really that must be Mary. There is no other person who can suffice to supply that. And I think too, I think we might've talked about this book once before with Maximilian Kolbe's book on the Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. How Mary herself is the visual embodiment of the Holy Spirit, right? She is love personified in the feminine form. I mean, obviously Christ himself is also love personified, but through Mary, right? He has no person, no human person without her being preceding him. Anyway, sorry, that's kind of maybe a bit of a...
That's right. And we know, at least from, biology today, that once a woman conceives that baby, those cells of that that other person always remains with her. Even after birth, that bond is always there. So, yes. To say that our Lord is with Our Lady is physically true, right? We know that today.
Right.
So we have a benefit of understanding that Louis de Montfort, in that biological sense, didn't know.
Right. Yeah. Which I knew, but certainly would not have been able to articulate it in the natural world.
Yes.
But again, they're
really surprising, is it?
Yeah.
Right.
It's really profound. We see so often how God writes truth. And, it is really one of the beautiful elements of, I guess, man's, the darkening of man's mind, right, is that there is an opportunity to grow in knowledge, right, that there is actually a real beauty there. God could have left us in perfect ignorance, right? We merited nothing more than that. And yet he permits us to grow both in knowledge and in virtue and in wisdom. I love that line. One of the prayers that I would always pray with my kids is when I would talk about our Lord after being lost in the temple, went back, and it says that he was obedient unto his parents, and he grew in age, grace, and wisdom before the Lord. And that's always been like my mother prayer for my children. That's what the kids will say at night, may I grow in age, grace, and wisdom before the Lord. And that's a mercy, right? It's not our right to be able to become smarter.
And there, my friends, Sarah gave us the linchpin. She gave us the linchpin. What did our blessed, he was obedient unto them. And what else, my friend? What else did you just say? Repeat it, please.
Grew in age, grace, and wisdom before the Lord.
There it is. That's how he treated Our Lady. And that, too, my friends, is how we're going to proceed. Let us pick up now with Louis de Montfort and the outline of his treatise. Till then, my friends, vide serratio.